Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Certainly it's good to be here in God's house again this morning. I was blessed to be here thus far, and I agree with Brother Jerry. It is, what better subject could we consider for a Sunday school discussion than the subject of redemption? It is the only reason we are here or can be anything because of God's redemption plan. And I was still mulling over as we talked about redemption, and we were trying to explain the word redeem there. Illustration, I believe someone gave of the coupon or something to that nature, that you take to the store and you have to redeem it. Maybe you get $5 off or whatever it is. And I was just impressed about the magnitude of our redemption. That coupon might be worth $5. What did the one heading of our lesson said? Redeemed unto a lively hope. I think maybe that was the words. It's like God takes, or it's a piece of natural illustration. You take a piece of trash, perhaps, and say, take it to the bank, and you get a couple million dollars in return. And that's such a poor illustration, I know. But it's so much more than anything we can even think of in earthly sense, that God takes a worthless person like myself and redeems me unto a lively hope. That's really an amazing thought, and our minds can hardly comprehend it. Well, I too was thinking about the new year. Here we are, another day, another month, another year, 2023. Time's still moving on, and I was blessed by the verse there on the front of the bulletin. I think it's good. It would have been a good verse to look at this morning for New Year's message. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, and so on. God has given us time again. What are we going to do with it this year? Well, this time of the year, the end of one year, the beginning of another, that's a time when we tend to observe, maybe, and I've been hearing some of that. Brother Nelson and Brother Keith both. We tend to maybe look backwards some, and we look forward some at the same time. And people reflect over the past year. Maybe you go back through all the pictures you took the past year. Reminisce over things that happened, both of the good times and maybe some of those that were a bump in the road or not so good. You have to think of some of those as well. And as I look over the past year, 2022, I have to say God has been good. 2022 was a good year in many ways. Personally, I feel, in church life, family life, and many other ways. Of course, there's always thorns along with the roses, as in all of life. But it was a good year, and I can say I've been blessed much more than I deserve. I'm sure many of you would agree this morning. If you own a business, the end of the year is probably a time you look back and you say, well, how are we doing? Are we meeting our goals? Are we making progress? Are things going the right direction? We take inventory of where things are at. And possibly you use that information to make decisions in the future. And maybe we need to implement some changes, make some improvements in the time ahead. And so it's a time that people, we look ahead as well, don't we? And New Year is often when people think of goals they have, things to strive for in the new year, things they want to reach, goals they want to reach in the new year. And some people like to make a formal resolution, a New Year's resolution at the start of the year. Some of us, maybe, probably most of us, I'm guessing, aren't so formal about it. Maybe we have aspirations, I'm sure we all do, goals and such in our mind that we don't necessarily put in a formal resolution. Some of the most common New Year's resolutions I found as I do a little research quickly were some of these. Get organized. Learn a new skill. Save more money. Spend less money. Quit smoking. Eat better, or other health things. Spend more time with family or friends. Travel more. Read more. And on and on. There's many resolutions that people make in a new year, for a new year. As I thought about that, you know, I think the resolutions people make many times are good resolutions. Probably most of that list, if not all, that I gave are good things. But they tell me that, sadly enough, many of these New Year's resolutions aren't a success, end up in a failure. According to one report, the failure rate for, and I don't know how accurate this is just numbers, the failure rate for New Year resolutions is about 80%, and that most people lose their resolve by mid-February or so. Like I said, it's just some figures, but it seems like many of the resolutions that people make aren't kept and followed through. Well, this morning, as we're starting a new year, I think it's a good time to analyze spiritually. Where am I at? And I think it's good to make resolutions in spiritual matters for the new year, and hopefully not only make resolutions, but carry them out as well. Turn to Philippians 3 for a passage this morning. Philippians 3, I want to read the whole chapter here and part of chapter 4 as well. As many verses we won't spend time with here. But as I read, think about Paul. Paul writes here, and he writes some about his past. He writes some about where he is presently, and he writes some also of the future, what he's looking ahead to. So think about some of those things as I read these verses here. We'll start at verse 1 in Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We'll stop reading there. For a title this morning, I'd simply use resolutions for a new year. And I'd like to pull some thoughts from here. Like I said, we'll not pull or look at nearly all the verses here. But this morning, to help guide our thoughts, I'd like to use the word resolve for an acrostic this morning. I'll just write that here on the board. I like to use a word or a phrase that begins with each letter to help us, perhaps, as we think of resolutions for a new year. And I don't think we're going to near, I don't consider this an all-inclusive list by any means. And the word or phrase that I use could be replaced by many others. Most likely, many others would fit just as well. The first one I'd like to have here, and I'm not taking these necessarily in order, is establish goals. Establish goals. Are goals important? Like I said, maybe some are more formal about, some of us plan ahead more than others, right? And maybe some are very particular and make a list of New Year's resolutions. Some of us maybe just kind of take life as it comes to us more. But I believe goals are important in the Christian life. Absolutely. Probably many of you have heard the line or similar. It goes something like this: if you aim at nothing, you'll probably hit it. Maybe it's kind of a funny, kind of humorous little line. But it's true, I believe, for many areas of life. And if you think of it in the natural sense, you aim your gun or bow, whatever it is, and just shoot into the air at nothing, well, that's probably what you're going to hit. You're going to hit nothing, most likely. And in the Christian life, it is certainly true. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it. See, the Christian life doesn't just happen. We know that. It's made up of intentional decisions. Every day. And it takes resolve to make daily decisions for Jesus Christ instead of decisions how my old nature would like to decide. It needs to be an intentional thing. It's not just the default setting in any one of us. Verse 14 here, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't sound like a careless, well, we'll see what happens kind of approach, does it? Press toward. It speaks of a goal in mind. Also, he says in 1 Corinthians 9, I believe it's verse 26, I therefore run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. It speaks of a goal in mind. Well, what was that goal that Paul had? I believe the goal that Paul had was to be like Jesus Christ. Verse 8, end of verse 8 and beginning of verse 9, he says, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That was Paul's goal, that Jesus Christ would be found in him, that the righteousness of Jesus would be seen through him, not the righteousness of Paul himself, which is filthy rags, he tells us at another place. But that others would see Jesus in his life. And he goes on to say, in verses 12 to 14, I haven't attained, I'm still working at it. I keep pressing on to this end. And certainly this morning, that should be the goal of every one of us as Christians, should it not? You know what Christian means, right? It means, doesn't it mean little Christ, am I right? Is that our goal? That in everything we do and are, we want to be more like Jesus Christ. Okay, that's ultimately our highest goal, isn't it? But what are some other goals, perhaps, we should have to help us to that end? I have several here. Have goals in your personal Bible reading and study. Paul tells Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And I don't think he was talking about just reading any old magazine. I'm pretty sure that's referring to the Word of God. Have goals in mind as you read the Word. Plan to spend time reading and studying the Word every day at a specific time or times. You know, if you're not intentional about setting a time for it, trust me, Satan will see to it that there is never quite a good time for it. There will always be interferences. And have a plan as you read the Word. Don't just open the Word, you know, let it fall open and, okay, here we are at Psalm 68. That's maybe okay for one day or so. But have a plan as you read the Word. Is that how you read other books, just let them fall open? No, probably not. And the Bible is a book. It's a story of Jesus Christ. And it's the book. But have a plan, an orderly method to reading and studying the Word of God. Maybe a good goal as you read through the would be trying to read through the Bible in a year. I think that would be a good goal for a new year resolution. And of course, as you read the Word, also endeavor to understand it and let it change your life. Well, another goal for a new year. Here in chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Make prayer a priority in the new year. Okay, maybe you have and are, but probably, if you're like me, you need a reminder every now and then to do better sometimes. Make the new year a year of prayer. Bring your supplications, your requests to God, those things that you worry about that keep you awake at night. Tell God about those things. Tell God your thanksgivings. Your thanks and praise for all He has done for you. How He's helped you in the past. Thank the Lord for those things. And pray for yourself that you would be faithful, that you would be true in the future. Pray for wisdom, for strength to do what's right. Pray for others. Pray that God would help them through what they're going through, and that they would be faithful and true. As I thought about that, you know, how faithful am I in that? Interceding for others. You know, there's different times. We commit to pray for someone. Maybe it's a new believer or so on. How faithful am I in that? Do I follow through? Or do I pray once or twice and, well, then forget about it? I think we need to continue on in prayer. Make prayer a goal in the new year. Pray without ceasing, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Another one I see maybe here in verse 8 of chapter 4. We have that list, and I know Brother Ron just preached the message on this very recently in Thought Life. It specifically says there at the end of verse 8, think on these things. And I think that would be a good goal to have in our Christian life as well. That things, that only thoughts that meet these criteria would be thoughts that we allow to dwell in our minds. Things that are true, honest, just, lovely, of good report. Those are the things that I think on in the new year. Establish goals. Be intentional in your Christian life. Don't aim at nothing. The next one I have is remember. And I have several points under this one. I originally had, I believe it was reflect on the past or something for this, but I didn't think it's that said everything that I wanted to bring out here. But that is one of my points. Remember the past. Now, we need to be careful with that. Because, you know, the past can drag you down as well if you let it. But I believe, as Brother Nelson brought out, there's things we can learn, we can benefit from what's happened in the past. And Paul spends a little time here on his past life. In verses 5 and 6 here, he talks about his upbringing and so on. I believe he's saying here that he was brought up, in my own words, as a good Israelite boy by Hebrew standards here. And he became a Pharisee. Now, we have a pretty negative view, at least I do, of the Pharisees, and I think rightfully so. Jesus had much to say, much condemnation for the Pharisees. But you know, I believe in their setting, the Pharisees were looked up to. They were the elite. They were the ones that were to know, and they did know the law. And Paul was zealous in doing what he knew. Here in verse 6, he brings that out. But as we know, it became a very misguided zeal. And he goes on to say in verse 7 and 8 that all those things that were so valuable to me that I used to count as a plus in my life, I had to lay them all down. I had to count them as nothing in order to serve Jesus Christ. And so I say this morning, consider your past. Is there something that you are hanging on to, that you see in your past as giving you some kind of special credit, could we say, with God? Maybe it's even good things like your Christian upbringing and so on. That doesn't give us any special credit with God, my friends. And any of those things need to be laid down to follow Jesus Christ. What about bitterness or pride? You have those from your past. Those things need to be laid down as well. They will hinder your walk. They will hinder your progress with Jesus Christ. Furthermore, as you reflect on the past, I believe I brought this out already, but think of how God has carried you through the hard times. Think of all God has done for you in the past, and praise Him. Take time to praise Him for what He has done in your life. Furthermore, in remembering, remember God's promises that you can claim in the new year. How about these? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The verse from Hebrews 13. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. These are precious promises that we can claim today. They're verses that didn't expire yet, and they're not going to. They're good for 2023 still. Another thing to remember as we proceed into the new year. You know, I need to remember that whatever plans, whatever ambitions, goals, and so forth that I might have for this year, those are all subject to God's plan. And God might see fit to change my plans. I believe we do well to keep that in mind. And I believe keeping that in mind helps me from getting all bent out of shape when my plans do all of a sudden get changed. James 4 is a couple verses. I won't turn there. Familiar, I believe, to us. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I know personally I can do much better in putting that last verse into practice and saying, if the Lord will, before I give my plans. All right, next one. Stand for truth. God needs people to stand for truth. God needs you to stand for truth in the new year, right now, today. And it's easy to say that here today, stand for truth. It's not too hard when we're here. It's not too hard when we're with 10 of our friends, most likely. But it's when you're all by yourself is when the going gets tough sometimes. Pilate asked Jesus, remember, as Jesus stood before him in the judgment hall, he said, what is truth? What is truth? And I don't believe Pilate asked that because he really wanted to know. I don't believe so. Because, you know, it's kind of ironic. He was so close to Jesus, the one who is the truth. But yet he was so far away at the same time. It's very ironic, I think. But you know, I believe many people today would echo Pilate's question, what is truth? Whether they sincerely want to know or not. And you know, we live in a time when it seems truth is twisted, bent, warped and shaped to what about whatever people want it to be. It's a verse in Isaiah 5. It's God speaking. He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And I don't know, but that about sounds like where we're at sometimes today. What is truth? Well, Jesus is the truth. His word is truth. And we have that word of truth right here. Word of God. Base your life on this word of truth. And my friends, there is no reason to be ashamed when you are basing your life on this truth. The truth of God's word. You know, it may clash with those around you when you're standing on that foundation. But stay on that foundation, the truth of God's word. Don't be shaken off. God needs you and I more than ever today to stand for truth. Another word. Opportunities. Use the opportunities you have this year. You know, every Christian person has a special place in God's work. You know, every one of us has opportunities unique to us, unique to myself. There's opportunities that I have that you don't, and the other way around. There's people that you can reach an impact for the kingdom of Jesus Christ that I can. Every Christian has their sphere of opportunity. Well, how am I doing? How am I using those opportunities? Am I squandering any because I simply don't see them? That's a sobering thought. And I think we can all think of times that we just did pretty poorly, that we failed. And we can resolve to do better. And we now have as God grants us a new chance at it. Resolve to do your best with the opportunities God sends your way. And remember the small and those seemingly insignificant ones. They're sometimes actually the big ones. I was blessed by that verse Keith brought out in the devotional. How did it go? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And let's put that verse to practice in our Christian life. That can apply to many areas of life. But whatever opportunity God has, whatever place God has for me, just that I would put myself all in for it and do the best I can. That children's song stood out to me. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. All right, for a fifth one, I simply put love more. And I admit that was one I haggled over many different, I think there's many words that would fit here. But grow in love. And first of all, for in love for God. Simply put, be a Christian in 2023. And if you haven't made the choice, the decision to follow Jesus Christ, salvation is here for you today. Receive salvation. Today is the day for that. And if you have been a faithful Christian in the past, keep on. We haven't attained yet, like Paul says here. We haven't reached home yet. And there's going to be tough going. And it's going to take perseverance. Perseverance, and it's only going to be by God's grace that we make it. Press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Grow in love for God. How can we tell where we're at? I believe there is an indicator that we have. We can tell what level of love we have, if our love for God is like it should be or not. You know, in a vehicle, we have gauges that tell us things about the vehicle that we can't otherwise see. Maybe we have an oil pressure gauge, and it tells us if everything is okay as far as oil pressure inside of that engine. And if it's not, maybe an alarm sounds and the gauge goes to zero. I believe we have an indicator of our love, how our love is to God. And what is that? Well, I believe it is how we love those around us. Am I having trouble in my love for my fellow man, my spouse, my family, others at church or work? I believe it's an indicator of where, if it seems like I'm having difficulty and I'm not loving, there's not love there. I believe according to 1 John 3, chapters 3 and 4, read them sometime. I believe they're familiar verses to many of us. That would indicate my love for God is not what it should be. And I believe that when my love for God is strong and what it should be, that will translate into love for others. That will translate into love in my marriage, in my family, and other relationships. Another one. I simply put, voice. V is a little harder. You don't have as many words to choose from. But use your voice for God in the new year. Resolve to use it for God. Tell others what Christ has done for you. I believe it's in Mark 5, we have the account of Jesus. Was it the man there in, was it the town Gadara, I believe? I might have that wrong. Jesus cast out the devils. He was totally out of control. The devils had control of him before he met Jesus. And Jesus healed him. Jesus cast out the devils. And it says he wanted to go along with Jesus. I believe we could we can identify with that. We should be able to identify with that. He wanted to be with Jesus, stay with Jesus. Jesus said, no, you go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and had compassion on you. And it says there, that's exactly what he did. It says he began to publish it in Decapolis. I'm not sure, it's probably the local town or maybe where he was from. He began to publish there how great things Jesus had done for him. And it says all men did marvel. People heard and marveled at it. Well, you know, this morning as Christians, we have a similar command, do we not? We have the Great Commission, those parting words of Jesus. Go, teach all nations. Spread the gospel. Well, how am I doing in this? Do those I work with, those that I meet from day to day, do they know I'm a Christian? Or am I quiet about what Jesus has done for me? Resolve to use your voice to spread the good news this year. Use your voice to bring cheer and encouragement. You know, a lot of times, just a friendly, cheerful good morning and a short conversation can speak volumes to people. And it can do a lot to lift their dark mood, perhaps. Speak words of kindness at all times. Use your voice to give praise and thanks to God. Resolve that only good, wholesome speech come from your mouth in the new year. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Maybe that's my problem when I'm not sure sometimes what to say. Maybe my speech needs more seasoning of grace. Use your voice for God this year. Last of all, eternity. Paul says here, verse 20, 21, he says, For our conversation is in heaven. I believe that word means citizenship. I think I'm correct in that. I think it meant something different in our Sunday school class. I'm not sure. I didn't look into the definitions recently. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and so on. I believe that means citizenship. And Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. That's what he was looking ahead to. He was looking forward to having a glorious body fashioned like Jesus' glorious body, instead of the vile or earthly one. Well, this morning, where is your citizenship as a Christian? Is it in heaven? Or are you among those, see there the end of verse 19, are you among those that mind earthly things? I don't know what all that the meaning of that is. But I believe it means, part of it is those who are rooted right here in the things of time. Is that where your focus is? Or is your focus on the heavenly? I ask you this morning, how do the goals, your aspirations, and such your resolutions that you have for the new year, how do they look in light of this word right here? How do they look in light of eternity? Think about that. You know, if you knew that 2023, this year, was going to be the last year for your life here, would that affect your current priorities? Would that affect your current choices? Would you have to make some changes? You know, none of us are promised tomorrow or the rest of a year. And the question that I challenge us with is, would you be satisfied with your life right now and the goals that you have for the future if God should call you away? That's very challenging to think about. Try to look at your goals and what you live for, what just keeps you going in life through the lens of eternity, and what difference, how's it gonna look in 100 years from now? What difference is, what impact is it going to make on eternity? And I know that's difficult because we're here in time and we have to work with things of time. But I believe an eternal perspective is what we need as a Christian. We need to remember, my citizenship is not here, but in heaven. Well, these are some challenges and some thoughts as I thought of New Year's resolutions for us as followers of Jesus Christ. I trust that each of you resolve to be faithful this year and continue on for Jesus Christ. God needs you. God needs faithful soldiers today and through the coming year as he tarries. I'm thankful for each one of your contribution in my life, in my Christian life in the past. I'm glad I don't need to go about it on my own. May God bless you all as you endeavor to keep pressing on this year. Let's kneel for prayer.